שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Beis Besivan, Parashas Korach, Tavshin Dallas, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 19 June 2014, webcasting from the hills of Judea and Samaria, once again conquered by the IDF. How many times do we have to do it? Conquered may be one way to describe the flooding of the West Bank this week, as anti-Jews call this real estate, in order not to have to call it Judea, because to do that and then support those who say this upland must be Jew-free. Men like Abu Mazen and Alan Dershowitz and Catherine Ashton and others, well, that's to speak in oxymorons, I think. Conquered, perhaps for a third time over the last 47 years. This month in 1967, again in Pesach, 2002. And now again, like 10 divisions of IDF soldiers, some reserves even called up, are poking around, arresting hundreds, searching for the three teenagers, like city policemen, not soldiers, but SWAT teams, operating in a bad neighborhood. This mixing of realms, this confusing of roles, has been part of the war against civilization waged by these Hamitic Ishmaelitic Arabs. We say Abu Mazen and Fatah and friends are the terrorists. They say Israel's uniformed soldiers are the terrorists. Repeating as well this week is the rearrest of roughly half of the murderers and murderers' assistants, aka terrorists, who were released into Judea and Samaria 3 years ago to liberate Gilad Shalit. Well, they've been rearrested, half of them, which makes a mockery of the whole process of Shalit's misery and captivity and negotiations for his release. These barbarians were arrested 30 years ago sometimes, for their antediluvian violence against us Jews, held in prison all those years, released, and now we have to return them to captivity like wild animals who have broken out of their cages. With the top story today in Israel, some words spoken by the Holocaust-denying criminal participant in the murder of 11 Israeli men in 1972, Abbas, speaking some words in Saudi Arabia yesterday about wanting to see release the three boys, because he said, we are all human beings. Though, as per textbook Arab behavior, he also accused Israel of using the kidnapping to damage Palestinian infrastructure, to use violence against the Palestinians, to destroy everything and wreak havoc and destruction throughout the land, close quote. Of course, the MSM focused mostly on the request to see the boys go free, an emblem of his humanity, and said nothing or almost nothing about the usual compulsion in such pronouncements to Jew bash at the same time in classical anti-Semitic style, namely by lying. It's virtually a law of nature that when an Ishmaelite like Abu Mazen says something favorable in the direction of the Jews, he must immediately take the other tack and bash them, with lies. He said Israel is out to damage infrastructure, to wreak havoc and destruction throughout the land. Whereas the MSM here did not report what the BMW did, which was the words of the official PA Daily that Abbas himself rules over. This official newspaper of his moderate centrist peace-loving Fatah suggested that Israel was behind the kidnapping in order to create an excuse for Israel's drive to wreak havoc and destroy. And I say this is so typically Arabian. How reminiscent it is of the PhD dissertation by this famous intellectual, Mahmoud Abbas, who said the Jews who died in World War II were murdered by Zionist Jews in order to terrify the survivors into fleeing to Palestine to help them steal it from the ancient ones. They see evil intent where there is none. They see ulterior motives, hidden motives, when there are none. During the Holocaust, they say the Jews murdered Jews. And in this case, Israel is behind the kidnapping of three of their own, to further their sinister aggression against the Palestinians. And I say every one of these accusations is a form of psychological projection. In sending terrorists to kill themselves for the cause, it's the Arabs who sacrifice other Arabs. In accusing Israel today of wreaking havoc, destroying throughout the land, it's the Arabs who wreak havoc here with their atrocities. It's their drive to destroy Israel they project onto us and twist into Israel's desire to destroy and wreck Palestine. They salivate over stealing our land and squawk in the media that Israel is stealing their land. Words, words, words. Shakespeare put those words into the mouth of his Danish Prince Hamlet. Prime Minister Netanyahu reacted to Abbas's surprising expression of, quote, caring about the lives of human beings. He didn't say Israelis, he didn't say Jews. By, as usual, demanding action to match the words, such as canceling his pact with Hamas. By contrast, in the same capital of the Jews in Jerusalem, same government, the Palestinian nationalist, who moonlights as Israel's Ministress of Post-Zionist Justice, Tzipora Livni, said Abbas's words were, quote, very important in our international struggle to get legitimacy for our actions. This, too, is so typical, in this case, of Tzipi Livni's slice of Israeli society, the enlightened, you know, these post-Jews. For them, what is most important, just as Livni says here, is getting international legitimacy for our actions, close quote. In other words, winning the approval of the Goyim, especially in the West. We must be sprinkled with the holy water of their notion of legitimacy. Not our own notion, not Hashem's notion. For Livni and her ilk, legitimacy is rooted in what the Goyim think of us. We have to appeal to their sense of justice and injustice in order to be secure in what we do. Also typical of her and her community was her description in her statement of Hamas as, quote, an extreme Islamist terrorist organization that attacks civilians and children and does not wage a war for the Palestinian people and their national aspirations, but rather against the existence of the State of Israel. It's forbidden to give them legitimacy, close quote. There are two or three problems with this statement. First of all, Hamas is not an extreme Islamist organization. It is just a Muslim organization, and it's not in the least extreme. The very word Islamist was the invention of non-Muslim academics in the West, leading the pack, the otherwise estimable Daniel Pipes, who concocted it in an effort to portray Hamas and company as extremists, not representative outside the center of Islam, which is not violent and not extremist. This is wrong, because while it's true that the overwhelming majority of Muslims are not themselves violent terrorists, the same majority does nothing to censure those who are, and even applauds what they do. When the three boys were taken last week, the Arabs in Gaza handed out candies, where the media photographed no counter-demonstrators protesting this behavior. What Livni is doing is using the word Islamist in a way to distort political reality. Her second mistake was to criticize Hamas because, quote, it does not wage war for the Palestinian people and their national aspirations, but rather against the existence of the State of Israel. The problem here is the implication that Fatah does, that Fatah is different. Fatah wages war for the Palestinian people, she believes, and their national aspirations, by implication, in contrast to Hamas, when this is not true. I'd bet good money she does not know that Fatah is a chapter title in the Quran, which tells the famous story of Muhammad deceiving his enemies by agreeing to a 10-year truce, and then after 2 years, seeing an opening, breaking his word, and attacking to win. It is a chapter dealing with the idea of taqiyya, dissembling. Livni's problem calls to mind another mental gymnastic, a cousin of psychological projection called splitting. The little child experiences mommy as the all-giving mother, but then later on, the one who chastises and punishes, and it takes a while for the child to understand the unity of the person who can be both. Think of the child's story, The Wizard of Oz, with its wicked witch of the West and the good witch of the East. Both are mommy. Tzipi Livni and her community simply cannot face the Arabs' abysmal, archaic, violent envy of Jews. For leftists like them, like Rabin, there are the bad Jew killers and the good Jew killers. Hamas is bad, Fatah is good. Hamas does not want a Palestinian state, she believes. Fatah does. And never mind that the Arab leadership, the mainstream leadership here, has been turning down offers of statehood in Judea and Samaria since the 1930s.
השם רואי לו אכסר בינו ישיה יצאני על מי מנוחות ינהלני נפשי ישובב ינחני למגל ליצל ולמען שמו גם כי ילך יצל מוות לא יירא רעתי אתה עמדי הם הינחו נפטרו פני שולחן נגד צורריי נשנת בשמן ראשי קוצי לוויה אך טוב החסד יודפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים אך טוב החסד יודפוני כל ימי חיי שבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים השם רואי לו אכסר בינות בשיה יצאני על מנוחות תנהלני נפשי ישובב ינחני במחל יצל וכלמן שמו גם כי אלך בגצל מוות לא יירא רע כי אתה עמדי שבתך אנתך למעיינך ונפטרו פני שולחן נגד צורריי נשנת שמן ראשי כוסי לוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם באורך ימים אך טוב החסד וני כל ימי חיי ישבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים
And that was from his first CD years ago, his version of Psalm 23. So, in a funny kind of way, the post-Jewish leftists like Tzipi Livni, whose reality testing is partially distorted by the need to see the enemy in a more favorable light, they have something in common with openly full-blown anti-Jews. Those who side with our mortal enemies share this habit of distorting the truth and believing in lies. For example, yesterday in the International New York Times, Roger Waters, the infamous Pink Floyd founder and the notorious anti-Jew, who insists all entertainers, singers like him, boycott Israel, answered a Roger Cohen column in classical textbook NTU fashion. What prompted his waters was Cohen evidently supports only two of the three BDS objectives. He wants to end the occupation and give full rights to Palestinians in Israel. But the third condition, Cohen holds onto the last shred of his Jewish identity in this. He opposes the right of return. And that a part of his soul, his mind and brain remain capable of clear thinking. He knows that means the end of Israel altogether. And in this stance, by Cohen, that legitimizes two of the BDS demands, Waters sees a, quote, tacit admission that Israel is a racist and apartheid state that has different laws for citizens of different ethnic and religious groups, close quote. As always, my definition of anti-Semitism is lying about Jews, and that is precisely what Waters is doing here. How can Israel possibly be a racist state when the Jews are not a race, but a nation? Just as Americans or Canadians are not races, but nations made up of different races, so the Jews. On top of which, there is not one law in any law book in this state addressing a person's race. He also accuses Israel of having different laws for citizens of different religious groups. And I answer, you bet, exactly like all of our neighbors, who are officially Muslim states, which turns, unavoidably, every non-Muslim in them into a second-class citizen. This is so characteristic of contemporary anti-Jews, these successors to 19th and 20th century anti-Semites, calling Israel a racist society at the same time they demand that Judea and Samaria become Jew-free, 100% ancient Palestinian, and that wouldn't be a racist state at all. This is madness. Rather, it's like a glitch in the brain, which destroys clear thinking. Waters wrote, quote, as for apartheid in the occupied territories, we need not repeat ad nauseam descriptions of the wall, the checkpoints, and the settlements, and the roads intended only for Jewish settlers, close quote. This, again, is like a spiritual psychological cousin of color blindness, you know, the colorblind cannot see certain colors, and the anti-Jew like Waters cannot see life before there was a wall and before there were separate roads for settlers. The world began with the separate roads. The world began with the barrier. I'll allow him his ignorance about the separate roads because they came into being starting two decades ago when Roger Waters may not have slipped into his anti-Jew mode, mental disorder, for 20 years. Before the First Intifada, from 1967 to 1987, there were no separate roads for Jews and Arabs in Judea and Samaria. It wasn't even an issue. In those days, such as the road to Hebron, which passed through Bethlehem as it had from time immemorial, and the road to Beit El in the north, and Eli and Shiloh, that passed through Ramallah, but then came the First Intifada. And that meant the Arabs coming out along those roads and stoning Jewish vehicles, throwing flaming bottles of gas at them. This led to the expensive civil engineering project in the south of Jerusalem to boring through mountains to create two tunnels and a highway to bypass Bethlehem. Passing through Bethlehem no longer in the First Intifada was safe because drivers had to pass by the Unwa slum of Dahisha, one of the so-called camps, and be showered with rocks, which forced the government to erect fences many meters high alongside the roads. For Roger Waters, these separate roads were built as an expression of racism and apartheid on the part of Jews, rather than because of the homicidal Jew hatred of his beloved ancient Palestinians. Likewise, the security barrier that he refers to as the wall, which his beloved victims of Zionism likewise see as a manifestation of our ugly racist nausea in the presence of these racially different people. And there was more in this letter to the editor. Waters wrote, quote, the fact is the occupying Israeli army subjugates an indigenous population using lethal force, including the murder of unarmed children, as Human Rights Watch recently reported, close quote. This, too, is a classic specimen of anti-Semitism. As the belief in lies about Jewish perfidy that doesn't exist, he calls the Arabs the indigenous population when we Jews are the indigenous population who speak the indigenous language. the world only knows about this country because of the Bible, found in every church in Roger Waters' native England, which contains more than 1,000 years of Jewish history in this land, and not word of any Palestinian history on the same turf. Who's the indigenous nation, Roger? The Arabs speak Arabic, which is not indigenous to the country, but to the Arabian Peninsula, which is 100 miles away. Hundreds. So what is he thinking when he attaches the word indigenous to these Arabs, these Muslims, whose homeland, as Arabs and Muslims, is that far away? At the same time, he denies the words of the Bible, which deal with the Jewish people in this land. This is functionally as loopy as Holocaust denial. Roger Waters is as daft as his fellow Brit, David Irving, in this regard. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And one more thing about this letter by Roger Waters in yesterday's International New York Times. Like too many of post-Christian Europe's people today, Waters says he, quote, advocates a two-state solution based upon the 1967 borders, which is another horrendous rape of the historical record. What he has in mind is the 1949 ceasefire line, which was no border and in written fact. When one reads the document signed both by Israel and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan in 1949, it says in plain English that this ceasefire line is not to be a border. Neither side sees it as a border. It's just a ceasefire line with no future political validity, or words to that effect. So when an anti-Jew like Waters uses this term, he's raping history. He's saying in 1967 there was a border that Israel crossed over when there was no border. And the IDF's movement over it was in self-defense against Arab aggression. Once again, like using the words indigenous and racist, anti-Jews like these hold historical truth in contempt and do so in order to smear Jews with criminal intent. Waters also in his letter wrote, quote, I won't lower myself to answer the slur of anti-Semitism yet again, but it is spurious and a smokescreen, a charge that should be reserved for extremist bigots, not thinking people who believe in equal rights for all, including Jews and Palestinians. That's why he advocates the two-state solution, he writes. And in my book, I make clear this is lousy arithmetic, first of all, the two-state solution. There already are and have been for decades four states in possession of a piece of Palestine, with three of them Jew-free Arab states in possession of more than half. He doesn't know this. Again, history is not the anti-Jew's strong point. And let's not forget Waters' classic charge of Jews as child killers. That is most representative of the anti-Jew throughout centuries, even millennia, of Jew hatred that has nothing to do with truth. For Waters, the plight of the putatively Paleolithic Palestinians is just an excuse to exercise in our time this archaic behavior. In a similar light, it was reported yesterday that Roger Waters' fellow Brit, with an unpronounceable Scotch Gaelic name, the Reverend Pareic Raymond, has been appointed the new pastor of St. Andrew's Scottish Church in Jerusalem, built here in the 1920s under the British mandate. This is the same Scottish church we have read about lately for producing that report rejecting the idea that Scripture, quote, offers any peoples a privileged claim for possession of a particular territory because promises of the land of Israel were never intended to be taken literally, close quote, according to his church's report. And I ask, how is a Jew who can read the Bible in the original, which I'm sure he cannot, to respond to this lunacy? By my own count, the first five books of his Bible and mine contain 180 statements pairing the Jewish people, the children of Israel, with this real estate. Moreover, not one sentence in the Bible suggests any of these promises was not to be taken seriously or literally, especially when the voice speaking them is the God of the Bible. And I suggest this is a form of dementia on the part of anti-Jews like this Scotsman of the cloth. For sure, he's not a dysfunctional psychotic. I worked for several years with such people, and the mental illness as serious as theirs is commonly diagnosed by their behavior, which features an inability to take care of themselves, wash, dress, eat, you know, interact normally with other people. This Scotsman, this man of the cloth, wrote in the year 2011, using the word again, indigenous, to describe Israel's, quote, strategy of dispossessing the indigenous population of Palestine that began in 1948 and continues to this day, grabbing their land, demolishing homes, stealing their water, uprooting their olive trees, and killing them, close quote. Notice, too, like Waters, the ahistorical reference here. This fellow thinks the struggle over this land began in 1948. In proclaiming the mission of his new assignment, he said, quote, the church's greatest need is to challenge ordinary decent Jews in Israel who, like ordinary decent Afrikaners in South Africa of old, are blind, utterly blind to the reality of what is done in their name and its inhuman consequences. Such Jews are destroying their own souls, close quote. Yeah, this Christian divine has come here to open our eyes to the fact of our stealing their land, killing them, stealing their water, destroying their homes. Sometimes I think I spend too much time on DPP on non-Israeli events like this and the mindset of world anti-Jewry, but that's how I see things. The leftist elite here and abroad thinks the problem is the absence of a state for the allegedly primeval Palestinians, when the root of all evil around here is the brain activity of people as daffy about Jews today as their forebears have been for thousands of years.
לבל יפול אדם בדעתו מחמת ריבוי הפגמים והקלקולים שקלקל על ידי מעשיו ענה ואמר אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל תאמין שיכולים לתקן אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל תאמין שיכולים לתקן לעניין התחזקות לבל יפול אדם בדעתו מחמת ריבוי הפגמים והקלקולים שקלקל על ידי מעשיו ענה ואמר אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל תאמין שיכולים לתקן 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 בעניין התחזקות לבל יפול אדם בדעתו מחמת ריבוי הפגמים והקלקולים שקלקל על ידי מעשיו ענה ואמר אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל תאמין שיכולים לתקן אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל תאמין שיכולים לתקן אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל תאמין שיכולים לתקן אם אתה מאמין שיכולים לקלקל אז תאמין שיכולים לתקן
Last thing here. For those who think we Jews are the obstacle to peace, I say just look at some of the international news stories this week. The massacres in Iraq, you know, the mass beheadings there and the machine gunning of bound captives in ditches, the Shia and the Sunni. And then there's the massacre in Kenya on Monday by Muslims of people who were watching the World Cup. The culprits were said to be Somalia's Muslim cultist called Al-Shabaab, which is Arabic for the youth. This killed about 50 people. The same cult was responsible at the last World Cup games 4 years ago in Kampala, Uganda, in which they slaughtered 77 people. So that was on Monday in Kenya, and in the town of Empeketoni. And then the next night, probably the same inflamed Muslims struck a nearby village called Poromoco and murdered 15 people there. That Roger Waters and the new pastor of the Scottish Church are obsessed with alleged Jewish murder that doesn't occur, and pay no mind to Muslims every day these days slaughtering one another and other people, is further evidence of a classical mental disorder called Jew hatred. Okay, that's it for this evening and this week. May God protect those three boys. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.